Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Yeah, I'm right, mate. I'm doing well, thank you.
You were born in the Isle of Man, Douglas, and then when you were six, you went to Canada.
Yeah, we were dying to have some freezing cold weather, so we went over there.
And that's why you come to Australia as well. Well, Tasmania, we're chilly down here still.
I know. I went a few places on this tour that were quite cold, and I was surprised. I've been here a few months, so I came with a pair of sandals and shorts thinking I was going to a warm country.
What age were you, and how did you get involved in the music business?
When I was 15, I left my home. I was kind of a wanderer. I liked to go and wander and travel. So I left, and I ended up living with a band and in the countryside on the farm. And they taught me how to play guitar. And I worked as a roadie. I learned about equipment. And I did that for about 5 years. I worked with not only that band, I ended up working with some of the top bands in Canada all the time. I was studying how to play the guitar.
You moved to Europe then. You're about 20. Why did you pick Europe?
I used to say to my friends that Canada was fine if you liked rocks and trees, but I was looking for a little culture. Maybe that was a bit cynical, but in those days, this was, way back when, in the mid 70s, I had the feeling I wanted to go see the world, and so I figured I'd go to Europe and start there.
What part of Europe did you base yourself in?
Well, originally I went to Paris, and I started with an acoustic guitar, just playing on the streets, and making my living, so to speak, just barely. I was managing to sleep and eat each night, so that was the beginning. But eventually I lived in many places in Europe, in Germany, and down in Italy, and over in Spain. And I was a street musician for a good while there.
Did you find the culture that you were pining for?
Yeah, that's what it was. I wanted to see the world, and I figured, playing my guitar was a good way to get myself around.
Your next stop was Japan.
Well, sometimes we're led to places through love. Let's say I met a Japanese woman on one of my early trips to India, and I met a Japanese woman, and she invited me there, and I ended up living in Japan for close to 10 years. I started working with agencies. I was a one-man band at that time with a drum on my back. And I toured around all over Japan for the next 10 years. I think I've pretty much played every town of any size in Japan.
Next stop was India.
Yeah, I'd been going to India on and off since 1979. So finally, I decided I'd stay in India. I stayed from 1986 till 98, good 12 years, I would say.
What did you find as the big difference, let's say cultural-wise, between, say, Europe, Canada, and India, Japan?
Well, if you look at Japan and India, that was where I was kind of bouncing back from one to the other. It's a huge difference between those countries. Like, Japan had such great material wealth, and yet it was always hard to find that spiritual element in Japan, because they seem to be worshiping materialism. This is a gross generalization, but that was the feeling I had. And India was the opposite. They couldn't get the toilet paper on the roll straight, and the roads were a mess. But the sense of spirituality was huge there. So I found something in each culture that kind of was attractive to me. But in India, especially, the music really drew me in.
And you got involved in playing some Indian instruments?
Yeah, that's right. I started out with the sitar, and then I progressed to the Mohan Veena, the instrument I play now, which is like a sitar, but a slide guitar version. You play it in your lap with a steel bar. It has all the sounds and the nuance of the sitar, but it's essentially a slide guitar.
In 2000, you moved back to Canada.
Well, we were living, I had a girlfriend at the time in India. We were thinking it would be nice if we owned a refrigerator or maybe even a car. Some of these luxury goods, that people here in the West take for granted. We'd been in India so long without any of these kind of things. And we decided maybe we'd go to Canada and make a go of it. I told her that, you know, maybe I could get in the music business because I was playing pretty well by that point. And so we shipped over to Canada, and we ended up living in a caravan on a piece of land with no electricity for the first year or two. And I kept telling her, don't worry, baby, I'm going to make it. It's going to happen. She had her doubts, you know. But then I finally made a recording, and I made that recording in one day. Eventually, that recording sold 50,000 copies. So things started looking a little brighter from there on.
Was that the album Dog My Cat, 2001?
Yes, exactly. Dog My Cat. It suddenly put me on the map almost overnight. I had an agency after me, a booking agency, and I started to tour around. And I was very grateful and shocked, because up until that point, I think I was about 47 at the time. Up until then, I'd only made a living really playing on the street and, you know, doing some festivals in Japan.
He's with you this time. Is he involved in the music business?
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, when he's on the road with me, he acts as road manager, and he's a great help on the road. But his thing is musically very different. He's into, you know, electronic music with elements of rap, and he's a studio producer of music. He's 20, so his music is very age appropriate.
You're a long time friend and collaborator with an Australian keyboard player, Clayton Doley.
He's a legend, isn't he? I think I first saw him playing with Jimmy Barnes. Both him and his brother, Lucky Doley, are top-notch players, and they get around so well. I saw him at one show, and I thought, I'd like to invite him to sit in with me, and he did, and we ended up playing years together. We toured up in Canada and over in Europe also. And whenever I get the chance to have Clayton on board, I get him to do that. Just a wonderful player, the kind of player where you don't rehearse. You just sit down and you talk about what you're going to do and you plow into it. And I just love that.
Are you coming to Tasmania playing three shows in December, 14 in Hobart, 15 in Ulverston, and the 16th in Invermay, which is Launceston? Will you get back to Canada to your family in time for Christmas?
No. I'm here till the 20th of December in Australia, and then I'm off to Thailand. I've got some things to do over there. I've got a friend that's not well that I want to spend some time with, and I won't get back to Canada till mid-January, just in time to start touring over there. I'm sure it'll be nice and warm at that point in Canada.
One last question. The name, surname Manx, were you born with that, or is it because you're from the Isle of Man?
No, I wasn't born Harry Manx. I was born George Manx, to be honest. No, I'm kidding you. No, that's an assumed name because, yeah, as you would know, that people from the Isle of Man are Manxmen. And I had the occasion, because I left there as a child, I hadn't gone back until maybe about 10 years ago. And I had my first show there, and it was a packed theater. And after the first song, one gentleman stood up and said, "Welcome home, Harry." And the whole crowd applauded and stood up. And I felt so welcome and brought back into the fold.
Just on the Isle of Man, you did release an album in 2010 called Isle of Man, the Desert Island Collection. So is the Isle of Man the place you'd like to be with your favorite music?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since I've had any roots there, though I still have family there. You know, I like to think that my music would have some kind of universal appeal to people. It's not based in any particular style or any particular place. But yeah, my heart really is pulled by the Isle of Man, and you know, because I have deep roots there.
Harry, thank you very much for talking. We look forward to you here in Hobart at Rest Point Casino on the 14th of December. Looking forward to it.
Yes, it'll be a great pleasure to come back to Tassie. I love the place. I've been there many times. It'll be a great joy.
Thanks, Harry.
Best to you, mate.
Tell you, baby, there ain't no sense. Now you got me, darling, up against the fence. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you. Well, now you go out in the evening, baby, don't say where you gone. 6 o'clock in the morning, child, you come waltzing home. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you. In the morning, baby, and you come waltzing home. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you. Yeah, I tried to tell you, baby, Lord, there ain't no sense. Now you got me, baby, and I'm up against the fence. Ain't that a shame, shame, shame the way you do? Ain't that a shame, child? Oh, that's a shame on you.
That was Harry Manx, who's coming to Hobart on the 14th of December, playing at Rest Point. Two songs in there, Baby Please Don't Go and Shame, 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 both from the album mentioned, Dog My Cat. That's Harry Manx's very first album. Now, we did mention an Australian keyboard player called Clayton Doley. This is what Clayton sounds like. A song called Cruel Reminders.
Only to rise and set again. Infinite. Why do the stars and the moon light up the night? Why do I see beauty outside when I feel only pain inside? Why do waves keep crashing upon the shore? One after the other until eternity's restored. Why do birds keep singing their morning song? Why do I hear beauty when you're not here where you belong? That even though you're gone, time keeps marching on. I look for meaning when it isn't there, following signs but they are leading me nowhere. They're cruel reminders.
That was Clayton Doley. Good song, Cruel Reminders. And don't forget, Harry Manx will be at Rest Point on the 14th of December.